so we were doing Makos Daf Yud Aleph, the piece right before the Mishnah that mentioned that you need mutter beficha, that at least for tefillin have to be something, have to be made out of an animal that's kosher. So we saw the Gemaras. We saw the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Chav Ches Amud Beis. We saw the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuf Ches Amud Aleph. And what we discovered from all these Gemaras is that tefillin is halach l'moshe m'sinai. The fact that it needs to be a kosher animal apparently is halach l'moshe m'sinai. The fact that it has to be black is halach l'moshe m'sinai. But the fact that the ritzuos have to be from a kosher animal, that was from the pasuk mina mutar beficha, that it should be taras Hashem beficha. How do we see from taras Hashem beficha that it has to be animal parts? Because we compare Torah to tefillin. That Torah and Tefillin are linked with each other. That Torah and Tefillin both have this halacha. That's what we saw in our Gemara in Maseches Makos. Now, we also saw that even though it has to be min a mutar beficha, it has to be from a kosher animal, but if it's from a cow that was shot in the head or that dropped dead of a heart attack, that's what we would call a nevela, the halacha would be that that's fine as well. Why is that fine as well? So we saw that very interesting idea that at the end of the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Ches Amud Aleph, that very interesting idea that even though it's technically usur in a very severe way to eat nevela, to eat an animal that just dropped dead, it's a very severe isur, it would not be a violation of min hamutar beficha to use it for tefillin, because the whole problem of using non-kosher animals for tefillin is that it's considered like inappropriate to use a pig to make Sifrei Torah or tefillin or something like that. To use, an animal that's not kosher is considered like it's not matim. It doesn't fit. It's inappropriate. It's a chutzpah of some sort. But when you're dealing with a kosher animal that Hashem killed, that died of a heart attack, so adrabah, it's more mechubad than using a shechted animal. Because a shechted animal was killed by a human being, but an animal that died of a heart attack was killed by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So it's more mechubad. Says the Gemara, if it's more mechubad, why can't we eat it? So the Gemara says, because the pasuk says you're not allowed to eat nevela. I don't know, but I don't know why you're not allowed to eat it, but it's a pasuk in the Torah, so you're not allowed to eat it. But it is actually more mechubad. And what we were able to draw from that Gemara is that this din of minamutar beficha is not about a special halacha that you need something to be kosher to eat in order to be able to use it for tefillin. It's a din that you shouldn't use something that's entirely inappropriate. It's not about the kashrus, because nevela is glat treif. It is bad. No such thing as glat treif. It is bad. It is wrong. It's a definite isser. It's the worst. It's as bad an isser as you can get in Ilchus kashrus, but it's not about kashrus. It's about the propriety of using something like that for chefetz shel mitzvah, for something like tefillin. So I wanted to do today is discuss the issue that we started to discuss yesterday or 2 days ago, which is which mitzvahs do we say this by, which mitzvahs don't we say this by. I pointed out to you that I have on my tzitzis these nice colorful blue strings. These blue strings come from the strings are from a sheep, they're wool, I hope. The blue comes from a snail. The snail is not a kosher animal. When you go to a restaurant, you cannot order snail as an appetizer. It's not a kosher animal. Why am I allowed to have this on my tzitzis? Or let's say, if I build a sukkah, I'm not allowed to have a sukkah that's built with, whose walls are made out of non-kosher animals. If I want to, the Gemara says, if I want to put four elephants around me and put schach over the elephants and tie the elephants down really well, so maybe that would be a kosher sukkah. Elephants are not kosher. Why would that be a kosher sukkah? Why is that okay? Yet on the other hand, what are other mitzvahs that you dafka need a kosher animal? Tefillin, Sefer Torah. Where else do we need a kosher animal? Do you need to use kosher things? So Torah Tumim points out shofar needs to come from a kosher animal. He also points out, based on a Tosfos in Yevamos, Kuf Beis on Beis, this tiny little Tosfos over here in source number 9, that the chalitza shoe that they use, mikanam rabbeinu tam, shetzarech shia minol me'or behema tahora, de tachash ksiv. It says there should be from a tachash, which is a kosher animal, and therefore, says rabbeinu tam, the chalitza shoe has to come from a kosher animal. Chalitza shoe, you ever see a chalitza shoe? It's a funny looking shoe. what they do, there's like specifications of exactly how to make a chalitza shoe. It has to go all the way up the leg a little bit because it has to be me'al raglo, and it has to have straps and whatever. So the Batei Din, and it has to fit. So Batei Din have a chalitza shoe, and then when the Beis Din makes a chalitza shoe, they have to make it from a kosher animal, says Rabbeinu Tam. The Baal Tos himself disagrees. Tos says ve'ein nira ki en lahakbidim chalitz minol be'ema tameya. Since when does a shoe have to come from a kosher animal? But Rabbeinu Tam holds it's got to come from a kosher animal. So the question is, the question Torah Tamim struggles with, is why is it that sukkah, tzitzis, chalitza shoe, that can all come from, I'm sorry, sukkah and tzitzis can come from non-kosher animals, but chalitza shoe and tefillin and sefer Torah and shofar has to come from kosher animals? Where do we draw the line? What's the gedder? What's the defining point of what has to come from kosher animals and what has to come from non-kosher animals? So Torah Tamima suggests in Parshas Bo, and I wouldn't have found this Torah Tamima on my own. Rabbi Wolf pointed me to this Torah Tamima. He points out that whatever other mitzvos, chalitza shoe, shofar, whatever other mitzvos require being kosher, it must be derived from tefillin. It has to be that somehow we learn it from tefillin. But the question then becomes, so why don't I learn that the walls of your sukkah have to be kosher from tefillin? That if my tefillin have to be kosher, if it have to be from a kosher animal, the walls of my sukkah should have to be from a kosher animal. So he suggests that maybe you could say a very simple chiluk. What's kosher to use as the walls of a sukkah? What are you allowed to use for walls of a sukkah? What are you allowed to use? Anything. Halach is anything. You can use anything as your walls of a sukkah. Pretty much anything. So does it have to be from an animal at all? Does it have to be from an animal? So there can't be a requirement that it has to be from a kosher animal when it doesn't have to be from an animal. When you make a chalitza shoe, can you make a canvas sneaker for a chalitza shoe? No, it's got to be leather. It's got to be from an animal. So it says Torah to me in a very simple chiluk. When we're going to learn a halacha, a mitzvah, that has to be from an animal, so then we'll learn from tefillin that it's got to be a kosher animal. But if the mitzvah itself doesn't have to be from an animal at all, it could be a domain, it could be something that's, a rock, it could be anything, so then it wouldn't have to be from a kosher animal. However, he says, unbelievable, one would have never thought to ask this question. Torah Tamima was an outside-the-box thinker, questions every assumption, and he says, who says tefillin has to come from an animal? Does it say anywhere tefillin has to come from an animal? Well, think about it. We say these parshiyos all the time. What does it say, animal? It's that tefillin has to be from an animal. Meaning, if this is the rule, then only things that have to come from an animal have to come from a kosher animal, but things that don't have to be from an animal can come even from a non-kosher animal, well, who says tefillin have to come from an animal? So he says what you have to say is, based on our Gemara, he says, Shalamadati kein misugya demakos yiral famaralef. Says I learned it from Makos Tafir Aleph Amar Aleph. Why? Because what does it say in our Gemara? Sefer Torah Shetafru B'Pishton Pasul. That if you stitch your Sefer Torah using flax to stitch your Torah together, it's pasul. Dichsev Lamantia Torah Hashem Beficha Huksha Kala Torah L'Tfilin. That we compare Torah to Tfilin. Matfilin Alach L'Moshe Misinai L'Tafran Begidin Av Kala Torah Mitzvah L'Tafran Begidin. Just like Tfilin, there's Alach L'Moshe Misinai. You need to use the veins, the sinews of an animal to sew the Tfilin. So too by Torah. Apparently, the Gemara says explicitly that gidin are necessary to sew the tefillin based on halacha l'Moshe Misinai. It stands to reason that that halacha l'Moshe Misinai teaches us also that tefillin have to come from an animal. So even though we're used to saying, yeah, the black of tefillin is halacha l'Moshe Misinai, it's more than that. A lot of the details of tefillin are halacha l'Moshe Misinai. The fact that it has to be from an animal at all is halacha l'Moshe Misinai. But then the Torah Tamima says, you know what? You can get it from the pasuk also, that it has to be from an animal. You don't need to rely on halacha l'Moshe Misinai. You don't even need to suggest that it's necessarily halacha l'Moshe Misinai. It can come straight from the pasuk. Because what does the pasuk say? L'mantia Torah Hashem beficha. that it should be something that's kosher. Now, if it doesn't have to come from an animal at all, are non-animal products kosher? What makes something not kosher? If you ever think about this, I don't know if you ever thought about this, in kashrus, if you have an item, if you buy an item in the supermarket that's not kosher, it's because there was an animal in there. There's some part of an animal in there. If there's no part of any animal in there, then by definition it's kosher. There's nothing on earth that's not kosher other than animal parts. Or, you know, animals. Nevela, trefa, shkatzim, remasim, all these things. Right? Basar b'chalav. It can only be other than, you know, stam yenam or something like that. That's also because of avodah zarah or something, you know. But actual, you know, straight up kashrus, mutar b'ficha, it can only be animal parts. So it says the Torah to me in the following vart. Listen, see what you think about this. The Torah is telling us that you can only use kosher animals. Maybe the Torah is saying that you have to use a kosher product. So I could use a kosher animal, or I can use canvas or other material or plants or other things that are also kosher. He says, no, it can't be. Because the Gemara makes the following drasha in Maseches Pesachim. In Maseches Pesachim Daf Lamed Hey, the Mishnah tells us that there are five grains that you could be yotzei the mitzvah of matzah with. And nothing else can you be yotzei the mitzvah. Let's say you make yourself a delicious corn cracker. You use cornstarch, and you make a cracker out of cornstarch. Use cornstarch as your flour, or potato starch. So you make a matzah instead of using flour from grain with potato starch or cornstarch. Is that kosher for the mitzvah of matzah? No, it's not kosher. It has to be made out of one of the five grains. Why? Why does it have to be made out of one of the five grains? So it says the Torah to me, it has to be made out of one of the five grains because in order for something to be matzah, it has to be something that's ra'ui lovely dechimutz. It has to be something that could potentially ferment. Something that could potentially turn into chametz. No matter how long you leave cornstarch with water unmanipulated, just letting it soak in the water, it will never ever become chametz. It's kidneys. Ashkenazim don't have it, cornstarch. It will never ever become chametz. I remember years ago, my parents bought, you know, those Heimische brand cereals on Pesach, you know, like Mazel Tov cereals or something, I don't know. And my brother was looking at it and he's like, these Fruit Loops, like, they look a little too good to be Pesach cereal. So he looks at the ingredients, says, cornstarch? Oh my gosh, that's kidneys. Wheat flour? Oh my gosh, that's chametz. Apparently, they make the Heimische cereals all year round. Like, they don't only have Pesach cereals. My mother never would have thought, like, who would buy that during the year? So we actually have chametz. But the halacha is that something can only be matzah if it has the potential to be chametz. So listen to this comparison that he makes. So he says, if that's the case, when it comes to the grains they use for matzah, maybe you'll be a rosa. When the Torah says something needs to be mutter beficha, mutter means that it has to be ro'i lios aser beficha. There has to be something that could have been aser, that could have been non-kosher. And Baruch Hashem, it was shechted, so it's kosher. Or Baruch Hashem, it's an animal that is a min behemah Torah, so it's kosher. So he says, maybe we get it from the pasuk itself. Does that make any sense to you? You know, it's saying, just like by matzah we have a din, that something can only be matzah if it could have been chametz. So when the Torah tells me something has to be mutar b'ficha, maybe that by definition is telling me it has to be balei chayim. It has to come from an animal. Because by telling me it has to be mutar b'ficha, it has to be something that could have been aser b'ficha. So several reasons why I don't like that at all. Number one, this din that it needs to be roi lios chametz is dafka din by matzah. It's not a din that we apply to kala terukula. It's dafka din that the Gemara darshins from a pasuk, from a hekish in the pasuk. Pasuk says l'sochel of chametz, and then it says yishvi matzah. So we darshin that the pasuk is comparing chametz to matzah, telling me that there's a direct link between chametz and matzah. There is no pasuk that tells me that there's some sort of link between behemoths that are muta beficha and behemoths that are not muta beficha. That's problem number one with the Torah Tzmimah. Problem number two with the Torah Tzmimah. By matzah, it has to be something that's ra'ui to be chametz. How would it have become chametz? What would you have done to make it chametz? You have your wheat flour. No? What do? Bake it. If you bake it right away, you'll be matzah. So what do to make it chametz? How could it have gone wrong and become chametz? You wait too long. You don't bake it right away. You bake it a half hour later. You let it sit. That very same dough that turned into matzah could have been chametz. Over here, what's he saying? My tefillin, that very same tefillin that I'm going to make out of a kosher animal, could have been made from a non-kosher animal. But then it's not the very same tefillin. It's not that something could have gone wrong with it that would have made it non-kosher. It's a cow. It's a cowhide. The cowhide never could have been a behemah tameah. It was always a behemah Torah. It was always a kosher animal. There's nothing that could have happened to it that would have turned it into something that's not kosher. It could have become a nevela or a trefa. Yeah, but that would be kosher for tefillin. We're allowed to use that for tefillin. A nevela or a trefa. As long as it's from behemah Torah. There's nothing that could have happened to it that would have made it not kosher. That would have made it a behemah tameah. I shouldn't say that, because it would have made it a behemah tameah. Third problem. The Gemara was pretty clear that we don't care if it's kosher or not. The Gemara said nevelos and trefas are okay. What are we looking at when we're making tefillin? We don't care if it's kosher. We care if it's appropriate. So to say min hamutar b'ficha melamed that it should have been something that was ro'i to be non-kosher has nothing to do with kosher. It has to do with not using something entirely inappropriate. You know what's not entirely inappropriate? Plants, canvas. That's not entirely inappropriate. You know what's entirely inappropriate? Pig. That's entirely inappropriate. So to say min hamutar b'ficha has to be from a min that would have been right to be aser. No. The whole reason you can't have the iser in the first place, the Gemara was very clear. It was because it's just wrong. It's not nice. It's not right. That's what we got from Shabbos Tav Kuf Ches. It's not about whether it's kosher or not. It's about not using something that's just totally a chutzpah to use for a mitzvah. That's what it's really all about. So the Torah Tzmimah likes to say chidushim like this. He writes that he wrote the Torah Tzmimah without any svarim on him. He was traveling a lot. He was a businessman. He was a banker. He was just writing the svarim whenever he had time. But he sometimes says things that are like too much of a chiddush. You know, I think this might be one example. But he says, if you agree with me, if you agree with what I'm saying, says the Torah Tzmimah, that we know that it has to be from an animal product, that tefillin must be made from an animal product. How do we know it? Because it's just like the drasha we have by matzah. If you agree with that premise, says the Torah Tzmimah, it would do a great job explaining a Rashi in Maseches Megillah. Because Rashi in Megillah writes, Tzipan Zahav, that if you line your parchments of tefillin, the parshios of tefillin with gold, it's pasul. Can't have gold parshios. Rashi writes, why not? L'ma'antia Torah Hashem b'ficha, because it has to be from Torah Hashem b'ficha, from that which is mutar b'ficha, me'or behema tahora. It's got to come from a kosher animal. So everyone asks on Rashi, what? What are you talking about? If you line it with gold, it's no good, because it has to be kosher? Is gold not kosher? Is gold in any way nevela, trefa, behemah tmeya? Gold is a mineral, right? Something that's mined from the ground? I don't know. Right? It's mined. Gold mining. It's not kosher. There used to be a drink, I don't know if it still exists, that has actual like little pieces of gold in it, like shredded pieces of gold. It's a shtick. Very hip-hop. You're drinking gold. Is it not kosher because it has a little piece of gold in it? Gold is kosher. There's nothing not kosher about gold. So, what's Rashi talking about? Says the Torah Tmima, I know exactly what Rashi's talking about. L'man Tiyah Torah Hashem B'Ficha teaches us, Minamutr B'Ficha teaches us, that it has to be from something that's Ro'i Lios, not Mutr B'Ficha. It has to come from an animal, which is roi to not be mutar b'ficha. Mela, gold is possible. So he says it would really do a great job explaining that Rashi if you buy my whole shtickel Torah. Problem is, I don't buy his whole shtickel Torah, so still have problems with that Rashi. But okay, that's what he suggests. Now, the Nadvi Huda. Before we get to Nadvi Huda. This din of Mutar B'Ficha, din d'oraisa or din d'rabbanan? So it seems very, very clear that we're dealing, whenever you deal with any din, you always have to, that's your first question. Din d'oraisa, din d'rabbanan. So very clear over here, din d'oraisa. It's either Allah l'moshim Sinai, or l'man tiyat haras shem b'ficha, probably l'man tiyat haras shem b'ficha, min ha-Mutar B'Ficha. Sounds like it's a real drasha gemura. Maybe it's just an asmachta, how do I know it's a drasha gemura? Because the Gemara asked, wait a second, I already know from Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. And the Gemara has to come up with how I don't know it already from Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. Well, if it's just an asmachta, it could be an echinami. I know it from Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, it's just an asmachta. No, so it's not just an asmachta. It's a real drasha d'oraisa, it sounds like. That we have a real drasha d'oraisa over here. L'mayin nafkamina, whether it's a din d'rabbanan or a din d'oraisa. So the classic nafkamina between any d'rabbanan and d'oraisa is safek. You're not sure if your tefillin is made from kosher animal hide or not. So safek, if you hold that it's a din d'rabban, you'd be able to make me safek, and you'd be able to use those tefillin. But if it's a din d'oraisa, you have to be machmir me safek. If you take a look at the Bir Halacha in Dibra Maskel Tahorim, Bir Halacha writes that if you have some sort of safek ba'or habatim, if it's tahor, if it's kosher or not. Yesh lahachmir, the sveka d'oraisahu, va'afilu b'ritzuos yesh lahachmir. You have to be machmir, and even on the ritzuos you have to be machmir. If you look at the Nadi Yehuda, in the paragraph that begins Achre Isi, Nadi Yehuda Tinyan Archaim Simon Gimel, in the third paragraph, Achre Isi la Rav Pri Chadash. So as I saw in the Prichadash, it's one of those things, a lot of people learn Yardaya now and they don't even look at the Prichadash. You know, unless someone tells you to look at the Prichadash, because he has something important to say, a lot of times people don't look at the Prichadash. It's a big avla. People don't look at a lot of the classical commentaries that everyone used to always learn. The Primogadims, they're so long. They're tiny little letters and they're really long. A lot of people don't read them. I remember Rav Shechter told us once he was sitting at a chasen with Rav Moshe, and someone came over to Rav Moshe and asked him a shaila. And Rav Moshe said, oh, it's a primogadim in whatever. And he right away, chapter verse, exactly where the primogadim was. And Rav Moshe thought that the guy wasn't really asking a shaila, the guy was trying to chap him. The guy was trying to see if he can stump him. So Rav Moshe turns to someone sitting next to him after the guy left and said, he thought he was going to chap me enough in a primogadim? What was he thinking? Like, how could you chop me enough in a prima gadim? Who doesn't know all of prima gadim about that? Ramesh was a different madrega. It's not something we could really fathom, you know, how what kind of level from a different dar. But anyway, so Nadvidu comes from Pri Chadash, who quotes a Chuvas Haran. Shenishal al menalim shetzovim b'tzeva sheish b'chometz shel yisurei anav. That he was asked about shoes that were colored using some sort of dye of Isser Hana'a. Umasik shamahol v'hu ibaya deliv shitab m'sachs b'bkama y'chazusa milsehi b'shal devrei amazinu l'kula v'chazusa lav milsehi av b'shal Torah amrin chazusa milsehi. He says, since we're not sure whether a coloring agent alone matters, whether the color of something is significant or not, So that's why when it comes to Daraisa, we'd be machmir. When it comes to Drabanan, we'll be makim. However, he says, Vimkeni and Makom Musafik Shel Adoni Avimari Rabbi, this tshuva is written not by the Nadavida, but by the Nadavida's son. In Madura Tinyana, Nadavida is in two volumes. There's what we call Madura Kam and Madura Tinyana. If you have never learned Nadavida before, in terms of classical tshuva svarim, there aren't many that are more important than Nadavida. Even Ramesha didn't quote a lot of tshuva svarim left and right. He wasn't like Rav Vadya, who was quoting, you know, and my next door neighbor just wrote a tshuva sefer, and he says this way and this one. He wasn't Rav Vadya would quote people that were far beneath him that were writing tshuva svarim. Rav Moshe just quoted the classics. So who does he always quote? Nadav Yehuda, Chassam Sofer, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and Rav Shlomo Kluger. That's pretty much it. Every once in a while, you know, someone else, but you know, that's pretty much, you know, those are the standards. Nadav Yehuda, Chassam Sofer, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and maybe Rav Shlomo Kluger also. So Nadav Yehuda in Madura Kama, he wrote all of his knockout tshuvas. He wrote really Geshmaka tshuvas, and the Madura Tinyan is pretty much defending himself. The whole volume two is people who got the first sefer and were like, wait a second, what about this? That? So the whole half of Madura Tinyan is just Nadav Yehuda defending his positions from Madura Kama. And a lot of them, not even him, it's his son, you know, throwing in his own tshuvas, because I guess, I don't know if he wrote his own sefer or not, but his son writing his own tshuvas. So anyway, so he says, Sayin makom l'safik shal doni avimari rabbi, kibin d'drash d'min amut r'fichu d'var Torah z'in l'chumr d'shem chazuz milsi. He says, Minamot b'ficha is a din d'oraisa, so any suffix you're going to have about minamot b'ficha, we're going to have to go l'chumra. So remember, we raised the other day the question, Rabbi Wolf pointed out, about those markers, those tefillin markers. Do they have to be minamot b'ficha? You go into your local Judaica store, and for $10, you can buy a Sharpie with a sticker on it that says that it has a batatz hashkacha. But it's no different than, in terms of quality, it's no different than a Sharpie. So why are you paying $10 for a Sharpie? Because if you hold that chazusa is that whether chazusa matters, whether the coloring of something matters or not, is a safek that's nibayd l'ifshita, that's something that's never reconciled in the Gemara, whether chazusa milsa or chazusa lav milsa, that means that whether the chazusa, whether the look of it, the color of it, has to be minamutra b'ficha is a safek, and we're dealing minamutra b'ficha is a din d'oraisa, safek d'oraisa l'chumra. So you got to get your marker with a hashkacha. It doesn't necessarily mean you need a marker with a hashkacha. It just means that you can't use a marker that has non-kosher ingredients. So by the same token, you can call up the Sharpie people and ask them, are there any animal products in your, just tell them that you're tree-hugging, whatever, and any animal products will just cause you to die. So are there any animal products in your Sharpies? And I'm sure they will assure you that there are no animal products in their Sharpies. And then, once you verify that, you'll be able to use a Sharpie to color your tefillin also. There's no din of lishma on the production of the ink that's going to color your, the rituals of your tefillin. Maybe you didn't know the shema when you're actually coloring it, but there's no din of the shema in the production of the ink that's going to color it. But it does have to be minamut b'ficha based on a safek d'oraisa l'chumra. That's what the Nadav Yehuda seems to be suggesting over here. Now, there, this Nadav Yehuda is a long Nadav Yehuda with a lot of very interesting points. So I want to. It's going to be hard to figure out which ones to do. Let's start with the discussion of tcheles. I'm sure you didn't get to it in Seder. Before that, do you look at the Chassam Sofer? Source number 12? You saw the Chassam Sofer? Just a quick ha'ara on the Chassam Sofer before we get back to Nadav Yehuda. Chassam Sofer discusses silk that's made from a worm, right? And therefore is from a non-kosher product. And he writes that as long as, you know, he talks about coloring of things. This actually begins the Tchelis discussion a little bit. He writes, Dimeshi hu davar tameh shu meirok piv shel tola. It comes from the saliva of a worm. That's why they didn't have it in the Melech Samishkan, because it's not kosher. Ulu dvarav tzarech lomar tola as shani shu tzemer tzavua bedama tola. What's tola as shani? Tola as shani is a red dye, a red dyed wool. How did it get red? How did we dye the wool red? We use the blood of a worm. Says the Chassam Sofer, how could they use the blood of a worm in the Beis HaMikdash? Isn't that a violation of Mutar B'Ficha? So he says, Tzarech Lomar Ditzavua Lo Ichpad Lanemeinu Mutar B'Ficha. If it's just a color, then we don't really care. If it's just for coloring purposes, then you definitely don't need Mutar B'Ficha. Ukumadumali Shachilazon Shetzovim Bo Tcheles LeMikdash Einenu Mutar B'Ficha. And he says, I think the Chilazon is not a kosher animal. And that's not a problem, because it's only used for coloring. As long as it's not used for the substance, only used for coloring, it's okay. So if you're keeping score at home, what do you have over here? This is directly against the Nadav Yehuda. Because what did the Nadav Yehuda say? When something is for chazusa, when something is for coloring, it's just to give it a certain look. I'm not sure, it depends on the sugim babakama, chazusa milsa, chazusa lav milsa. So it's an ibaidul of shtah, it's a suffix. Says the Chassam Sofer, no, it's not. Has nothing to do with chazusa milsa. Chazusa milsa is when I get hana'a from looking at something. Or, the Avodah Zarah gives it a certain look or whatever. So is that considered to be a violation of an Isra Hana'a? Giving a color to something is not called using the non-kosher product for a mitzvah. Because it's just coloring the mitzvah, it's not making the mitzvah itself. And his raya is from chilazon. It's interesting because one of the critiques of the Murex Trunculus for chilazon is that people say, how could it possibly be the chilazon? It's a non-kosher animal. You can't have mitzvahs made from a non-kosher animal. According to the Chassam Sofer, it's a non-starter. What are you talking about? Of course you can. Of course the chilazon is not a kosher animal. And he says, therefore, if you want to color the ritzuos of your tefillin with shuman dug tameh, with a non-kosher product, says the Chassam Sofer, gesundheit. So essentially, according to the Chassam Sofer, do you need to call the people at Sharpie to make sure there are no animal products in there? No. It's fine. There could be animal products in there. It doesn't have to be kosher. So the Yehuda says you have to be machmer misafik. Chassam Sofer says you don't even need to be machmer misafik. But interesting, he says, Mikol Malkov Ani Machmir Ledidi Likach Shemen Zayis Malkom Shemen Dug. He says, still, I like to shine up my ritzuos using Shemen Zayis, using kosher product. But he says, La Halacha, you don't have to do that. And then in the next paragraph, Umilu from Rihita Hayanira Nihide Eina Amudim Tzrich Mikol Malkom Im Asala Amudim. Sefer Torah, our Sefer Torah have two, what do they call it? Amudim, what are they? What do you say in English? Handles. Handles, the posts? That hold the Sefer Torah together? So is that a din that the Sefer Torah needs that? We always imagine the Megillah just, you know, goes in one circle and Sefer Torah is two circles. But, you know, with the two Amudim. Is that a din? Some sort of reason, you don't really need Amudim. So the shaila is, can you make ivory? Ivory amudim. I think that's what he was dealing with. What's ivory? Not the soap? You know what ivory is? Huh? No, I think it's the elephant tusks. Isn't it? I think so. No? Are you online? Can you Google it? No? I think so. So can you make amudim of the Sefer Torah out of the ivory? So says the Chassam Sofer, you don't even need the Amudim in the first place. So, if you don't need them in the first place, meich tesi that they should have to be kosher. He says, v'iyanti u matzasi raya brura delesa l'fi aniyas taiti mishas t'shabes chav chesem beis. He says, I have a raya from the Gemara on Shabbos that we learned. Damar of Yosef, lohuchshu l'machshmayim ela or behema tahora bilvad. Rav Yosef says, you got to use for tefillin or behema tahora, and for sefer Torah or behema tahora. V'shakl v'tari ashas, the Gemara goes back and forth, tuva alat, why do I need Rav Yosef to tell me that you need our behemah Torah? Kivan de sa'aros, uretzuos, v'gidin, hakol alachol Moshe Misinai. All the different parts of the Sefer Torah and the Tefillin, we know from alachol Moshe Misinai they have to be kosher. So what's Rav Yosef teaching me? What was the maskarna of the Gemara? For the retzuos he's teaching me, right? Imkein meliyadin shiyam in amutr b'ficha. At the end, the Gemara says, oh, it's the Ritzuos. And even though Ritzuos, that they have to be black, we know from Alecha L'Moshe Misinai, we need Rav Yosef to tell me a drasha that they have to be kosher also. Vasha kasha. Leimel etfiros amudin uchadome. Sheinem Alecha L'Moshe Misinai, sheinem etzrichim klal. Why didn't the Gemara just say that Rav Yosef's drasha is there to teach me that the amudim have to be kosher? But the amudim can't be from a non-kosher animal. And then you have to come on to say this dochak idea that ritzuos are halach l'moshe misinai and that they should be black is halach l'moshe misinai, that they should be from an animal is halach l'moshe misinai, but that they should be from a kosher animal, that I need a drasha for. That's not halach l'moshe misinai. Gemara could have said much better. There are Yosef's drushes for the things that aren't halachal Moshe Misinai. Like amudim, how do I know they're not halachal Moshe Misinai? Because they don't even have to be there. They don't have to exist. So mainly, they're not halachal Moshe Misinai. Would the Tartumim agree with this, Raya? Clearly not. What's his raya? The Gemara should have said, where do you need mutar b'ficha? For the amudim. That's where you need mutar b'ficha. According to the Torah Tamimah, we never would say the drasha of mutar b'ficha about the amudim. Why? We only say mutar b'ficha on things that potentially could have been asa b'ficha, that are animals. The amudim don't have to, aren't made from animals. Don't have to be made from animals. Amudim can be made out of anything. So Mela, we never would say a drasha of mutar b'fichanim. Now, Lanias Daiti Tartim is wrong, Chacham Sofer is right. Meaning, of the two, Chacham Sofer makes a lot more sense. I mean, a mutar b'fichanim is not really about animals, it's about not using the wrong animal, not using a thing that's a total chutzpah. But I'm just pointing out, this raya, the Chacham Sofer, l'chora, doesn't work according to the Torah Tamimah. The raya wouldn't be a good raya to begin with. Because the Chassam Sofer's whole raya, again, is only from the fact that the Gemara should have given the answer that we need min amutar b'ficha about the amudim of the Sefer Torah. According to the Torah Tamimah, no, we never would need a drasha for the amudim of the Sefer Torah. Because you're allowed to make the amudim of the Sefer Torah out of whatever non-kosher animal you want. Because you can make it out of anything. It doesn't have to be made out of an animal product. If it doesn't have to be made out of an animal product, it can be made out of anything. So, what does have to be made out of an animal product? A shofar. So a shofar's got to be kosher. Tcheles. Tcheles got to be... Wait. What does the Torah Tumim do with that? So Mustam, the Torah Tumim is going to have to rely on the first paragraph of the Chassam Sofer also. And he's going to have to say that when something is chazusa bialma, when it's just a color, it's not an issue. There's so much more I want to, but maybe one more point. The Nadbi Huda, in trying to struggle with the same issue the Torah Tamim is struggling with, which mitzvahs need to be kosher, which ones don't need to be kosher, Nadbi Huda draws a different distinction. Again, not the Nadbi Huda, his son, draws a different distinction. And he suggests let's find it, that you only need mutar b'ficha Where did the Gemara learn it from? Torah and Tefillin. Made a hekesh between Torah and Tefillin. What do Torah and Tefillin have in common that other mitzvahs don't necessarily have in common? Let's say tzitzis doesn't have. What did Torah and Tefillin have? Ksav of Torah. This actual writing of Torah. But wait, wait. The bottom also has to be from Kosher Animal. The bottom don't have Ksav of Torah. Yes, they do. Why do they have Ksav of Torah? They have the Shin. But wait. The Ritzuos need to be from Kosher Animal. The Ritzuos form letters themselves. Dalad, the Yud. There's Ksav of Torah. In Tefillin, there's Ksav of Torah in Torah. Suggests the Nadavi the Son that maybe that's where we're makbid about Mutar B'Fich. When something's actually related to Torah Atzma, to the Torah itself. Tola Ashani that they had, he deals with, was from a non-kosher animal. That wasn't Ksav of Torah. That was just dyed wool. Big Day Kahuna. That's not Ksav of Torah. But then he says, but wait a second, yes, it is Ksav of Torah, because it was on the Choshen. And the Choshen has the names of all the Shiftei Ka. And if the bias of Tefillin is called Ksav of Torah because it has a Shin in it, then the Tola Shani should be associated with Ksav of Torah because of the Choshen. So he says, Ubar min dein yeshlomar, maybe another chilek, not Ksav of Torah, but maybe Tashmishe Kedusha versus Tashmishe Mitzvah. Tashmishe Kedusha need to be minamut b'ficha. Tashmishe Mitzvah don't need to be minamut b'ficha. What's the definition of Tashmishe Kedusha? So it's funny. Definition of Tashmishe Kedusha is something that has Ksav of Torah. Rav Shechter writes in Eretz HaTzvi. That's how we define Tashmishe Kedusha. That's why you ever wonder, what do we determine? How do we determine what gets put into Sheamus and what doesn't get put into Sheamus? Tashmishe Kedusha gets put into Sheamus. Your lulav, when you're done with it, doesn't get put into Sheamus. You put it in a bag and you throw it out. Or you burn it with the chametz on Pesach. But it doesn't get put into Sheamus. Why not? Because anything that's associated with Ksav Shel Torah has to be put into Sheamus. That's Tashmishe Kedusha. As Rav Shechter writes in Eretz HaTzvi, when a Jewish person dies, he gets buried. There's no mitzvah kvura in Meis HaYakum. Why? Because Chakuk Aluach Libecha. The Torah is Kasav Aluach Libecha. So we're Ksav Shel Torah. They're not. They're a Tashmishe Mitzvah. They're Chayiv and Mitzvahs and Zayin Mitzvahs. Tashmishe Mitzvah can be Nizrak and Lachar Zman Mitzvahs and once the Mitzvah's over. So he says, maybe that's the Chiluk. So now we have to go through. Wait a second. Okay. So my Tzitzis, Ksav Shel Torah or not Ksav Shel Torah? Tzitzis, definitely not Ksav Shel Torah. So why can you use a Murex truncula snail to make Tcheles? Perfectly fine. It's not Ksav Shel Torah. Tala Shani, it's not Ksav Shel Torah. It's a string, it's wool. Tefillin are either Kedusha Atzma or Tashmishe Kedusha. All of the Tefillin is a Tashmish of the Parshios. What about the Mishkan? Kalim in the Mishkan? Things in the Mishkan? The tent of the Mishkan itself? And one could have argued that that's Tashmishe Kedusha. Because the Kedushas of Mishkan emanates from the presence of the Luchos, of the Aron, with the Luchos. And without it, you don't have Kedushas of Mishkan. But I'll give you another one. Shofar. Ksav Shel Torah, no Ksav Shel Torah. No Ksav Shel Torah. Does it have to be kosher? Yes. The only one that really accounted for shofar was the Torah Tamima. The Chassam Sofer, they didn't account for shofar. Why aren't they accounting for shofar? How did they miss that one? And the answer is really partial. How do I know shofar has to be from kosher animal? If I'm not mistaken, yeah? Yeah, the Gemara Darshan is from Pasuk. So it's not based on this min ha-mutar b'ficha. It's its own separate din. That's what's called a shofar. Otherwise, it's not called a shofar. It's not called a keren. It's called something else. So mele, it's got to be, you know, it's a totally separate din. Okay, so what did we discuss today? We discussed which mitzvahs require mutar b'ficha, which don't. We discussed whether the black coloring, or coloring in general, coloring of tcheles, has to be min ha-mutar b'ficha. We discussed various reasons why it might be that Tcheles doesn't have to be Mutar B'Ficha. We discuss cases of Safek. And that's pretty much it. All right. So Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll be on to a new topic in Makos. So go read the Mishnah and Vayter. I haven't yet decided what the next thing I'm going to focus on. So read the Mishnah and Vayter, and then we'll go from there.
Maybe Danny has an idea.